Please turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I want to ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. We'll be working our way back through this psalm. But first of all, we need to read it in its entirety. So let us read Psalm 100, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 100. Let us hear now the word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. Some translations have, is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the glorious privilege and honor that You give us of responding to Your grace through worship and thanksgiving. We pray, God, that You'll open up these words to us through Your Spirit, and that You'll apply these words deeply to our hearts and change our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one of the worst decisions I ever made, and it happened just in an instant. We had just purchased a once-owned beautiful red Nissan car. Pristine condition. I mean, the person who owned it just had it in immaculate condition. I was so excited because I had this brand new red car. So one day, driving down Lakeland Drive, and here's the horrible value judgment I made. My books started falling off the front seat. And I leaned down to catch the books. Bad choice. Because when I did, I plowed into the back of a car before me. Airbag went off. You know what happens when airbags go off. And I sat there just disgusted with what had happened. And then I looked up and I saw a billboard sponsored by an insurance company. And the billboard read as follows: life happens. Indeed, life happens. But I would say this: how I respond to life depends on what I know about life. Let me say that again. How I respond to life depends on what I know about life. Today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, a holiday in which we celebrate. It is an official holiday in America because historically in 1789, George Washington proclaimed Thanksgiving to be an official holiday. This holiday is a response. What we celebrate Thursday is a response to what we know happened historically, what George Washington declared. But biblically speaking, Thanksgiving is something we celebrate every day of every year of our lives, and we celebrate it because of what we know. We know things about God, and based on what we know about God, our hearts respond with praise and thanksgiving. It's a tapestry of thanksgiving woven throughout Psalm 100. The twin threads of education, what we know about God, and exaltation, our response of praise and thanksgiving, woven together right here in Psalm 100. If you notice in verse 1 and 2, there's exaltation, our response. It says, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord, come into His presence with thanksgiving. And then the second stanza, verse 3, it's education. It tells us what we are to know about the Lord that leads us to respond. Then verse 3 again, or verse 4, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him. That's exaltation. It's a response. Why? Verse 5. because the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That's the pattern of thanksgiving. It's how we weave into our lives a tapestry of thanksgiving. We know things about God, and on the basis of what we know, what is revealed to us, we respond with thanksgiving. This morning we consider three thanksgiving commands. I want you to notice again how the exaltation that we offer to God is based on the education about God we have right here. You know, the psalmist, and God through the psalmist, absolutely commands that we exalt God, that we thank God, that we offer praise to God. But this, and it's not a suggestion, it's not an option, it's a command. But these commands here in this psalm are not like those of a parent shouting to his children, pick up your room. Kid asked, why? Because I told you to. That's why. It's never a good answer because, you know, parents possess the authority over their children, but a heavy-handed authority approach is both unwise and ungracious. You see, there's commands here in Psalm 100, but these commands are basically this. Do this because of who I am. Do this because of the grace and mercy I have shown to you. Remember that. When you come across a command in the Bible, remember this. It's always grace first, then commandments. The commandments God gives to us are based on God's grace, what God has done to us and for us. What we're commanded to do flows out of what we know the Lord has done for us. So, what are we commanded to do here? Three commands. The first command that comes from a gracious God is this. All the commands will be one word. First word is this. Shout. Notice it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. The Hebrew communicates something like this. Shout with the force of a trumpet blast. Now, behind us here, we have approximately 30 seats in this choir loft. Imagine if there were 30 trumpets playing this morning, as loud as they could. The sound would be more powerful than sitting front and center at a concert featuring Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, and the Tower of Power all playing together. And by the way, if you don't know who those groups are, ask your parents or ask your grandparents. And just as trumpet players play from deep in their diaphragm, we offer praise and give thanks to the Lord from the very depths of what is inside of us. It's what we do. But why do we respond that way? Well, verse 3, because God is God. And then verse 5, because God is good. That's why we shout to the Lord. God is God and God is good. Ronald Allen tells about a veteran missionary approached him one day after worship service. And he said, and I quote, he says, I was a medical missionary for many years in India. I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there's something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. Seems this missionary had developed a treatment to stop this progressive blindness. So locals flocked to this missionary. They were treated. They would leave realizing, apart from the work of this missionary, they would have lived a life of being blind, becoming blind. Because of what this missionary did, their sight was saved. How tremendous. Missionary continues, this particular people never said thank you because the term thank you was not in their dialect. Thank you was not part of their language. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell of your name. Wherever these people went, the locals would tell of the name of the missionary who had cured them from their blindness. See, these people knew mercy. They received something good, something wonderful, and now they were eager to tell what happened to them. They were eager to tell who had transformed their lives. Friends, once we know, not just here, but here, who the Lord is, what the Lord has done for us, how the Lord has cured our spiritual blindness, so that we see our sin for what it is. We see the glory of God in Jesus forgiving our sin. We see Jesus restoring our spiritual vision. And we see, praise God, Jesus adopting us into our Heavenly Father's forever family. Once we see that, once we see that God is good and gracious, once we know God's goodness and His grace, how can we not but have a healthy case of the can't help it's when it comes to vocalizing our prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord God? Shout forth with a trumpet blast to the Lord. That's how we respond to what we know. Second command is this, one word, serve. Notice it says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Some of your translations may have worship the Lord. It's the same root. Worship and service is how we respond to what we know. And you know, it's easy to talk a good game of thanksgiving. It's easy to speak about praise. You know, all you have to do is open your mouth. You can praise, sure. Not difficult. But the Bible reveals that words and deeds are Siamese twins. They're joined at the heart. Words and deeds cannot be separated. Thanksgiving and praise to the Lord not only involves opening your mouth, you know what else it involves? It involves rolling up your sleeves and serving. And notice it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Our service is to the Lord. Alice Roosevelt, daughter of President Teddy Roosevelt, once said, and I quote, "My father always wanted to be the corpse at every funeral, the bride at every wedding, and the baby at every christening." In other words, Teddy Roosevelt was supremely self-centered. We all know people like that, don't we? As a matter of fact, we saw that person in the mirror this morning, didn't we? Right? You know, according to the Bible, though, what we do is not to draw attention to ourselves, but to demonstrate that when God's grace grabs us, God really does change us, transforms us from being self-centered, bottomless pits of need that need to be filled with attention and affirmation, to becoming people who demonstrate a demeanor of humble service to the Lord. Whether we're noticed, whether we're appreciated or not. You know, one of the problems that Jesus had with religious leaders of his days was that religious leaders, the Pharisees especially, saw life as a stage. They saw people as their adoring audience. They saw themselves as the lead actors on the stage with the spotlight shining on them. And you know, you must applaud my performance, or at least give me 150 likes on Facebook. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus teaches about praying, but what he says about praying applies to serving too. When you pray, when you serve, do not be like the hypocrites, people who wear a mask and perform for an audience, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue, preening on the street corners to be seen by men, so men will see them and say, "Wow, what a guy, what a girl." Jesus concludes by saying, "I tell you the truth, these glory hogs have received their reward in full." In other words, if you're serving to be seen and praised by people for all you do, you're not serving the Lord. You're serving yourself. When Brian Chappell worked at Covenant Theological Seminary, he assigned students to serve as hospital volunteers. There's always a long list of volunteers for every area of hospital ministry except one. You know what that was? It was working with Alzheimer's patients. And so to investigate why hardly anyone ever volunteered to work with Alzheimer's patients, Chappell served in the Alzheimer's ward for a month. This is what he wrote about it. I figured it out. In every other area of hospital ministry, the patients remembered who I was, they thanked me, they said things to make me feel good about myself and all the good I'd done for them. In the Alzheimer's ward, the patients didn't even recognize me the next day, much less sing my praises. He said, it's incredibly humbling to come to grips with the fact that even though I would say I was serving the Lord by serving people, honestly, I was serving others to receive praise for my service. Friends, we are commanded to serve the Lord no matter if what we do never receives one small soundbite of praise from anybody we serve. And we serve the Lord, notice verse 2, with gladness. Notice that. We serve the Lord with gladness. The 40 plus years I've been in ministry, I've had the opportunity to visit a lot of churches. I'll be honest with you, some churches I walk into the worship service and I'm convinced I'm in a funeral service. Why? Because that's what they look like. That's what they sound like. It's a funeral service. Do you realize every Sunday morning, get this, every Sunday morning is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday morning. You see, the reason why we gather on Sunday morning instead of on Saturday mornings is to commemorate a monumental historical fact, and that is Jesus rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Sunday worship is a posted reminder on our calendars. Every Sunday we celebrate, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living no matter what people say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Friends, we serve the living Lord. How can we not be glad in our service? This is Resurrection Sunday today. It's not even Easter. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Speak of His name to others. Do it with the force of a trumpet blast. Serve the Lord, not with a grimace, but with a grin. Third command is this. Again in verse 2, one word. Sing. Shout, serve, third, sing. Notice it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His court with praise. Sing joyfully. Notice, make a joyful noise with joyful song, singing. Have you noticed, and this is sad, we seem to have no problem at all raising our voices in a football stadium, praising our team when they score a touchdown, when they win, when they make a good play. We have no problem raising our voices at the Coliseum, the Brandon Amphitheater, as we sing along with our favorite singing group. I remember talking to someone that said, oh, I heard something glorious the other day. I said, what was it? So I was at Tiger Stadium and heard 100,000 plus people all singing together with Garth Brooks, I Got Friends in Low Places. He said, it was great. But yet, when it comes to church, instead of singing a chorus, hallelujah, of praise to the Lord, if we sing at all, sometimes you look out and you think, well, there must be a lot of ventriloquists here because they're not moving their mouth. If we sing at all, we sing in a minor, low-energy key. What's happened? What has so messed up our value system to the point where we get more joy at a stadium, at the Brandon Amphitheater, than we get when we gather together to worship the Lord? Well, maybe it's time to remember some fundamental facts that undergird, that inform our worship to the Lord. Notice it says here, the Lord, He is God. God is Lord. That is the fundamental, as the fundamental confession of the Old Testament. God is Lord. In the New Testament, the fundamental confession is Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? It means the Lord God is in control of our lives. That means this God, before time began, wrote the script for our lives. He's assembled the stage on which we play out this drama of redemption. And this Lord declares to us that one day, the drama of your life, whatever you're going through right now, the drama of your life will one day have a glorious and happy ending. He's in control of your life. But this Lord, when you see the word Lord, not only do you think of control, but remember this, this Lord also speaks with authority right here in His Word. And you and I need to be like flags blowing in the wind of God's words. In whatever direction the wind is blowing, that's the way we go. And also, not only does He speak with authority, not only is He in control, but this Lord God is never absent from us. He's always present with us. He loves us. Look at verse 5. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. You notice that endures? No expiration date on God's love for us in Christ, our Heavenly Father. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us, not even for one millisecond of our lives. That's the kind of God that we give thanks to and praise. Another fact feeding the fires of joy in our life is this: the Lord is our maker. Notice in verse 3, He is God. He is the one who made us. He is the one who made us. I love what the King James says there, not we ourselves, because it reminds us something I don't remember who it was that said, I think it was Howard Hendricks. He says, the self-made man worships his creator. And that's true. God is our maker. Ephesians 2:10 actually says, we are God's poema, from which we get poem. God's poem, God's beautiful work of art, God's signature written in permanent ink on the canvas of our lives. How incredible it is for us to know we don't have to swallow hook, line, and sinker the secular perspective that we're merely highly evolved animals on the high end of the food chain. Now, we embrace the truth, and here's the truth. We are dearly loved, beautiful images of God. The Lord has placed us at the pinnacle of creation, and the Lord gives us a salvation. Listen to this, a salvation that even the angels in heaven cannot speak of. Salvation, the angels in heaven. Think about that. They just wish they knew about salvation. How awesome is that? And here's another fact that should heat up our hearts with joy. That is, we are sheep who belong to a great shepherd. Notice what it says. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Friends, there is a great danger facing us this Thanksgiving. And the danger is this. It's the danger of letting our thanksgiving be determined by what we have. You know, do I have enough turkey to gorge myself past the point of satisfaction to feed myself into a turkey coma? Do I have enough money in the bank to feel secure? Do I have good health? Do I have a good marriage? Do I have a good family? We let materialism determine what we are and are not thankful for. You may say, well, I'm not materialistic. Yes, we are. When we focus only on what we can see and taste and touch and hear and feel, when that's our focus, yes, we are being materialistic. But listen to God's word through the psalmist. Your circumstances may change. Your stomach may growl on Thanksgiving Day. Your financial assets may shrink in the hot water of a wash of taxes and inflation. Your health may go south. Your family may be a mess. Hey, we do live in a fallen world. And the effects of sin affects everything in our lives. You talk to counselors, they'll tell you families have knockdown dragouts during the holidays. But one thing never changes, and here it is. One thing never changes. Your relationship with the Lord, or better, the Lord's relationship to you. Because it says right here, we are God's sheep. We belong to Jesus, our faithful great shepherd of the sheep, who lived and died to rescue us. Jesus, the great shepherd, who in the words of Psalm 23 leads us to living waters and green pastures. Jesus, who restores us and leads us in paths of righteousness. Jesus, the great shepherd, who leads us to the valley of deep darkness, even the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus, who leads us right through the front door of our Heavenly Father's house, where we will live forever. Friends, because God's love endures forever, because God's faithfulness, notice that last line, extends to all generations, if by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, if you are one of God's sheep, you will one day find yourself feasting with God's family in a place so wonderful, so amazing, there is no word in any dictionary anywhere that can tell us how wonderful it will be when we arrive at that place the great shepherd has gone to prepare for us. Friends, Psalm 100. It's the education that feeds our exaltation of thanksgiving to the Lord. Psalm 100. It's why we shout joyfully to the Lord. It's why we serve the Lord. It's why we sing praises to the Lord. And notice, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, bless His name. Friends, let's make it our prayer today that from here on out, our lives would be a tapestry of thanksgiving, that we would be known as people who shout, who serve, and who sing of God's grace and goodness and glory. Will that be your prayer this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, indeed today we shout because You're a good God. You've cured our blindness. You've resurrected us from spiritual death. Lord, may we always be telling others of Your name. Lord, we pray our lives would be a tapestry of serving with gladness, not to get applause, but because You are our living Savior, and we serve You through serving others. And we pray that our life would be a song. You're the Lord God. You've made us realize that we are Your sheep. You are our shepherd. You lead us to green pastures. You constantly preserve our lives, and You promise us an amazing final destination. Lord, may our lives always be a tapestry of shouting, serving, and singing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.